Welcome back to Politics with Amy Walter on The Takeaway. I'm Duarte Geraldino, Deputy Managing Business Editor for Al Jazeera Digital. I'm in for Amy this week. So, the man you're meeting next wears a lot of hats.
I'm a partner to a great guy that has supported me and a father to a four-year-old young little girl that thinks I'm the greatest dad on earth. I'm the son of two amazing human beings that have fought poverty, domestic violence, and have witnessed a lot in a short period of life. If I'd had to say who is Carlos Cardona, I would say an activist that has taken his experience to hopefully change some policies that are unfair.
Carlos lives in New Hampshire. He's a key political figure in the so-called first in the nation state, serving as chairman of the Democratic Party of Laconia. But his story begins in Puerto Rico, where he spent the first 12 years of his life. His father still lives there. Carlos wasn't on the island during Hurricane Maria, but a lot of his family members were. What he saw them go through changed his life and view of politics forever.
That's really what reignited my passion to get involved. It's what happened in Puerto Rico, what I actually call a genocide on the Puerto Rican people. My father had spent 6 months in an ICU because he had contracted a bacteria from drinking bad water because we as a country did not go to Puerto Rico early enough to help the Puerto Rican people to make sure that they had access to clean, safe drinking water and food and access to medication. My dad contracted a bacteria that made it into his nervous system because it took too long for him to get medical care.
And how's your dad now?
Well, as a matter of fact, I spoke to him on the ride here. I speak to him on a daily basis to make sure he's okay and he doesn't need anything. But he was just in the hospital 2 days ago. He'll have random convulsions and paralysis. And unfortunately, my stepmother doesn't really know what else to do. I wouldn't know what to do other than you call an ambulance and try to get him some medical help. And, you know, medication keeps him pretty stable. But occasionally, my dad is your typical stubborn Puerto Rican man that, you know, might not take his medication regularly because he thinks everything is addictive. So he's a funny guy. So.
What about your uncle?
My uncle's a sad story, actually. I grew up very close to him. He was probably one of my favorite uncles growing up. He used to always give us candy when our parents told us no. He was a strong, tall, amazing man. Right after the hurricane, I lost contact with my family for quite a long time. And I went about 2 months without having any contact at all with that side of the island. There was no cell phone reception. There was nothing. There was no way for them to communicate. Mail wasn't being carried. It was like the apocalypse happening in the island. Finally, when I heard from relatives, I had heard the worst case scenarios that you could possibly hear. Relatives were missing. My father was in the ICU. And at that point, for the first time in my life, there was nothing I could do. And that's when I felt empowered to do, you know, to get back involved in politics. But to talk about my uncle, the story that I heard from my aunt, who now lives with us here, he became so desperate with the situation that was happening in the island. They had a cheeseburger that they had bought before the hurricane had happened at a drive-thru McDonald's that they made last for 2 weeks.
2 weeks of the single cheeseburger.
The dollar menu cheeseburger. He had to make 2 weeks last. And then finally, he saw his daughter and his wife struggle so much with hunger that he couldn't bear the thought of it. One day, my aunt went to the downtown where most of the help was being provided. Outside of the poor areas. They walk there, they try to get help, they try to get food, and when she came back, she found her husband hung in the bathroom.
It's just so difficult to hear because of the stress after this tragedy in Puerto Rico. That's what you believe pushed him over the edge?
100%. There's no question about it.
So that tragedy and your own life as a dad, as a partner, and now you are advising politicians, that everyone's clamoring for your endorsement. How many of the 2020 Democratic candidates have visited you so far?
So I've had 20 visit me. I've met 25 of them. I've had conversations with pretty much every one of them. People are like trying to wonder, how did this all started? It all started because I live in one of the most Republican counties in the state of New Hampshire, where I came within 100 votes of winning my race after recounts. It started because of Puerto Rico. I felt that the only way that we can change something was if we, every Puerto Rican in the United States and mainland, got involved, ran for office, and fought. and showed Donald Trump that we are not going to stay idle, that we were not going to be put down, and we are definitely not going to let him kill us. So basically, I started catching attention right then. I've won in elections before. Right after the election, I lost. I took some time to meditate. And then in January, I was approached by several members of my community saying, we need you to lead us in whatever way that may be. We really feel that you should be the next Laconia Democratic Party chair, especially when there's going to be a presidential year. And you can do it in a humble way. And I said, I'll be honored to. We talked about it. We figure out how we were going to move forward. And then my first plan was to contact as many presidential candidates as possible and get them to Laconia, because just like Puerto Rico, I have stories there. There are stories to be told in Laconia, you know, where 50% income disparity rate in one of the richest places in New Hampshire, like where you can see million-dollar homes in the lake, but right across the street, you have kids that barely have any food. And I served as an AmeriCorps for 3 years there. And I still remember those stories, and I still remember those faces of those kids that I had to break rules, school district rules, where I would have to give them extra food to take home because I knew that that would be the only meal they would have. And I know what hunger looks like. I grew up in a very poor shanty village in Puerto Rico, so I didn't want that for them.
It's interesting you draw this distinction, which a lot of people don't. You say the shanty town in Puerto Rico to small town America that's in economic hardship. A lot of folks can't make that distinction, but then here you are.
There's no question that that's how Donald Trump won. It's because we failed to make the distinction. We failed to look at these rural communities. We were so focused on big cities in 2016 and even in 2012. You know, you hear politicians talking about what can we do for big cities and integration and all these racial issues that was going on, you know, police officers, all these issues, safety issues. But we forgot rural America. We forgot places like Laconia, New Hampshire. And then you have a guy like Donald Trump, and he comes into our community, which he did visit, and he makes a splash. He shakes the hands of people whose lives are in the verge of between poverty and death, and people who are struggling with drug opioid crisis, and young people that have lack of education because they had to drop out because they had to provide food for their family. You know, you have a guy like this coming into your town with celebrity status, shaking the hands of your neighbors, and that makes a huge difference. People feel that for whatever that's worth, that he's listening, even if he's not.
Carlos Cardona has been very successful engaging with presidential hopefuls. He says 20 visited him in New Hampshire. I asked him how he approaches those conversations.
Normally, I will reach out to a staff that I may know, and I'll say, hey, this is my name. This is who I am. This is what I'm doing in my community. And we would love to host you. And we will make sure that it's run smooth and you don't have any headaches. And normally they like that pitch. They get pretty happy about the no headaches part because there's a lot involved in making sure that these candidates are safe, that they can speak to a large crowd, attracting a large crowd to come see these candidates. They want to have access to the voters. And so just making all this stuff smooth as possible is what they want to hear and what they want to see. While at the same time, they want to talk to people that they haven't seen before. They want to shake hands with people who have stories that their policies affect. And so it's my job to basically just get as many Laconia Democrats and Belknap County Democrats out to tell their story and talk to the candidates and change their policies. And some candidates do change their policies when they hear these things. They implement new ones, and it does make a big difference, and it does shape how, you know, the next election and what America is going to look like.
In New Hampshire, what do you say to people who are actually non-voters? Have you encountered them?
I have, but there's a level of excitement that it's a little bit easier to pitch to people, hey, get involved. I had two events yesterday at my house for two different campaigns where they asked me if they could host it at my house because the house is large enough. And I said, sure. And then I was talking to people there. And there was a couple that have never voted before, that they have felt that our government has left them behind. And my pitch to them was, listen, it's only going to get worse if we don't get involved. Look at Puerto Rico. I tell them my story and how I got here and that there is hope. You know, I came here to New Hampshire as a homeless youth, fell in love and created a family, and now I'm living the American dream. So I tell them that the dream is not dead. There is hope, but it's going to be up to each and one of us. And I show them that a little guy like me from nowhere with no name recognition, just making this much change in our state. And, you know, Republicans and Democrats both either respect me or they are cautious because they're like, okay, this is somebody that we need to pay attention to one way or the other. And I tell them, you could do the same thing. It just takes hard work, and hard work still pays off. So that dream is not dead. Do I think if Donald Trump gets elected again, that dream will be dead? 100%. I think the American dream is in the cusp of disappearing forever, and stories like mine will not be heard of because this president will try to do everything possible to silence the media, to silence the venues that people have to speak up. And so I think it's super important that, you know, we elect a Democrat and that we come out in droves to vote. So I'm doing everything in my power to empower people, to show them that, hey, you have access to these candidates too. You will be able to talk to them, tell them your story, and change their minds. And this is how, you know, we shape America. And I am very optimistic that, you know, we will see a whole different picture in 2020. I mean, Belknap County, I've never seen it as active as I have this year.
When do we find out who you're going to choose for the primary?
So after receiving so many kind emails from people, I had to create a whole new email just to be able to get business done. And I appreciate all the calls, all the Twitter messages. My accounts have gone from 600 followers to, I think it's like in the 15,000s now. So many messages that I've received of support that I've decided that it's probably the most important time in my life right now to come out as soon as possible in support of a presidential candidate. The reason being is America is still quite divided as to what the direction of our country is. And I want to be a change maker in my community. I want to be the guy that our community can feel like, wow, we're going somewhere, we're being progressive, we're feeding our kids, we're providing the education we need. And so as you can imagine from all the attention I've gotten, I've been able to speak in very much detail with a lot of candidates. And last night, after speaking to two campaigns that I've been very close to watching, which is the Bernie Sanders and Warren campaign, I've decided that I am going to tell you who I'm going to support today on your radio.
Who is it?
So my vote and who I'm going to be knocking the most for, it will be Bernie Sanders in 2020. I really do think that he's the guy that has been the most consistent. I've seen how much fire he puts in people, how much he has inspired me. I've met with Nina Turner and himself, which are both, no matter what you think of them, one thing you can take from them for sure is how inspirational and passionate they are, which truly represents who I am. I am about making as much change as possible in the shortest period possible. And they both represent that. If you look at it, and I did not vote for Bernie Sanders in 2016. I voted for Hillary Clinton, both in the primary and the general election. But I quickly fell in love with him when I started realizing how consistent this guy from little Vermont, a small state, and how much change he has been able to make. It's pretty much what I've been doing. You know, I'm from a little city in Puerto Rico, moved to a little city in New Hampshire, from little New Hampshire, and we're creating so much change. So to me, he really truly reflects who I am as a candidate, as a person today. The way he speaks about poverty, it's in a way that we haven't seen since Martin Luther King. He talks about poverty like, you know, that's who we are. And until we change that in America, we will not stop being poor. We will not stop being those people that are struggling. And until we lift them up, our country will not be a better place. Crimes will not stop. People will not stop dying from hunger, from drugs, from prostitution, sex trafficking. So to me, it's super important. And the other thing is, he was made fun of for being such an environmentalist because he said in 2016 during the debates that the biggest threat to America was the climate change. And what are we talking about now today? Medicare for all and climate change. Those are the biggest conversations we're having. We're talking about poverty. We're talking about criminal justice. And this is exactly what he was pitching many years ago. In many ways, he prophesized what we were going to be talking about today. So it's something that I'm extremely passionate about. And it took me some time to learn that. Actually, as a matter of fact, when I hosted him with an open mind, but not really ever thinking that I was going to publicly endorse him. But honestly, after talking to him so many times and Nina Turner and so many great influential people, I'm proud to be a Bernie supporter. And I would say 90% of my family's following the path. My partner's still coming to terms on his own, which I respect, and I am going to let him do that on his own. And that's how we're going to change America, and that's how we're going to change Donald Trump supporters into Democrats, by giving them the space, respecting their opinion, and showing that they matter too in the conversation.
Thank you so much, Carlos, for your time and for making your voice known. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carlos Cardona is the chair of the Laconia Democratic Party. To learn more about him or his story, check out his profile in the Washington Post magazine.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.